Okay, concerning the head of Olam HaRishon, it says that in the last verse of chapter 2, Vayushnehem Arumim, and they were both naked, Odom v'ishtoi v'lo yisboi shoshu, and they were not ashamed, says Rashi. Why weren't they ashamed? Because they didn't have the sense of tzniu. Sounds like it's a criticism. Meaning, Odom and Chavo lacked some sense that they acquired afterwards. In other words, it sounds like that they were, it's like a criticism on Odom and Chavo. Which of course is very difficult, because it doesn't make sense that the madrega of Odom HaRishon before the Chet should be in any way lower than his madrega after the Chet. Here, if we are going to say that the development of that tzinius, of that modesty that Rashi is describing here, if it's something good, so if so, we are saying that there is something that he developed afterwards that he didn't have before. If so, it raises him. It sounds as if, in a certain way, his level was raised after the chet, and that's very, very difficult. So, in order to understand it, let me tell you something. The main point is in the Meshech Chochmo. In a few opportunities, we spoke about the conversation of the Nochosh. The Nochosh says in chapter 3, Af ki omar Elokim lo yisoichlu mikol eitz hagon. It's a very unclear statement. What is the statement that the Nochosh made, right? In chapter Gimel, Posuk Aleph. The word Af simply means, on the surface means what? Af? In spite of the fact. It's as if like, in spite of the fact that he said to you, don't eat it, but still you should eat it. That's what Rashi says. And Rashi learns Af Loshen Shemo, which is a little bit taking it out from the simple meaning of the word Af. Says Rashi, Af Shemo Omar Lochem Loisoichlu. Did Hashem tell you not to eat? That of course is very difficult. Yes, Hashem told him not to eat. What? And that's not the simple interpretation of the word Af. The word Af means in spite of the fact. Meaning, the Nochosh recognizes that God said, don't eat. But the Nochosh is telling them, in spite of the fact, Af in the sense of in spite of the fact, in spite of the fact that God told you, don't eat, you should still eat. So what is he telling him? What is the Nochosh telling Chavo? What is his argument? So the Torah is not clear about it. What is the argument of the Nochosh? So Chavo says, "Vatoymer Rishol Nochosh mi pri eitz hagan noichel." Hashem said to eat every other fruit and not to eat from this fruit. Meaning, it's clear that we are not allowed to eat. What do you mean? In spite of the fact, how can we do something in spite of the fact that God said not to? So the Nochosh says in Posuk Dalet, Vayomer Hanochosh Eloisho, Loi moiste musun. It's not really death. It means that death that God told you, Loi moiste musun, ki yodeya Elokim, in Posuk 5, ki biyoim acholchem mimenu venifkechu einechem. What God means death, it means the opening of your eyes. Now, before we go into the analysis of the statement of the Nochosh, we must agree, just to start with, that the Nochosh will not lie. Right? Meaning, the Nochosh is not here to lie, but the Nochosh is here to convince Chava through an argument. It's not that the, because we can't accept that the Nochosh is lying, because if it's a matter of who do you believe, the Nochosh or God, obviously you are going to believe God. The only way that the Nochosh stands a chance is by saying, in spite of the fact that God told you this and this, it's still worth it for you. True? I mean, that's the way we have to understand what the Nochosh said. In other words, even before we start interpreting what the Nochosh said, we have to figure out what is the method that the Nochosh is going to use. Obviously, the Nochosh is not going to win in a face-to-face contradiction to Hashem. Hashem says one, and the Nochosh says two. That won't work. Yes? Obviously, the Nochosh has to work with the method of Af, in spite of the fact. True? Meaning, true, God told you this, but what it really means is something else. Meaning, it's true what God says, but really you have something to gain. In other words, that death that God told you about is because God knows that death means opening your eyes. Do you hear the meaning of the statement? Sure, God told you you will die if you eat from the Eitz Hadas. But that dying is a dying that comes with an opening of your eyes. And that's a good way to die, if it causes you to open your eyes. Now, what does the Nochosh mean by that? That death that God is describing is the opening of your eyes. More. Not only that is that death an opening of your eyes, V'hiyisem kelokim, you'll have God-like qualities. Yod ei tov ora, you will finally get to know tov and ra. Right? So isn't it worthwhile to die if that's the reward you are going to get? The question is the Nochosh wrong? Was the Nochosh lying? Of course the Nochosh is not lying. The Nochosh is just telling Chavo, and of course the message is transferred to Odom, something that your judgment tells you that's still not worthwhile. Is it true that Odom becomes the judge of good and evil? Absolutely, he becomes the judge of good and evil after the eating of the Eitz Hadas. Before the eating of the Eitz Hadas, this is, I'm just quoting from the Rambam, he only knows what is true and what's not true. Right? God says this and God says that. Meaning, he doesn't become the judge of what's right and what's wrong. He becomes the follower of what God tells him is true and not true. He's not a judge. Yodei tovora, you know what the yodei? Yodei is da'as. Yodei comes from da'as. Da'as is the third level, Chochmo Bina Vodoas. What is the difference between each one of these levels of human of the human mental capacity? What is Chochmo? Chochmo means the acquisition of knowledge. The Nochosh is not telling Adam that he's going to become more of a Chochom through eating the Eitz Hadas. He won't have any more knowledge, right? If I teach a child 2 and 2 is 4, I'm giving him Chochmo. What is the second level? Bino. What is Bino? If I tell him 2 and 2 is 4 and then I ask him, so how much is 3 and 2? If he tells me 5, what he's using is Bino. That's called Dovor Mitoir Dovor. Right? That's deductive reasoning. Since you tell me this, I can derive something else from it. That's called Bino. What is the third level? That's Da'as. Da'as is, after I have Chochmo and I have Bino, I have all the information I need, I have to put the right value to each thing to know what to do. You see? Because I have to put things on the scale. For instance, the surgeon may have all the information he needs, right? If I make the operation, this and this and this may happen. If I don't make the operation, this and this and this may happen. Now that I have all the information, what should I do? That depends on your scale of value. How important is it to that this and this should happen? Right? That's already judgment. Da'as is judgment. Is this clear? Chokhmah is acquisition of knowledge. Bino is inductive reasoning, deductive reasoning. And Da'as is judgment. Meaning after you have all the information, Da'as doesn't add to your information. Da'as is judgment. The Nochosh doesn't tell him that he's going to become more of a Chokhmah. That by eating the Eitz HaDa'as, not more of a Mavin, but your Da'as will change drastically. As a matter of fact, you will be a Yodeya, which means a judge of good and evil. So what was Oro before? A listener to what's good and what's evil. Not a decider, a follower of what's good and what's evil. That is what the Nochosh is telling Adam. Is that correct? 100% correct. Because before the chait of the Eitz HaDa'as, he knew clearly what was right and what's wrong. Did he have free will? Of course he had free will, right? He had free will. He could do something which he knows is false. He could do it if he wants to. But he's not the judge. What the Nochosh is telling Adam is, you will become a judge of Tovara. And that's correct. How do you become a judge of Tov v'Ra? Because once Adam HaRishon eats from that tree, then Tov v'Ra is not something external to him. Remember, before he eats, Tov v'Ra is external, right? It's a pre, it's a fruit that's standing outside of me that I can see clearly, right? The moment I eat the Eitz HaDa'as becomes within me. It's part of me. Therefore, I have to look within myself to see whether it's right or wrong. A person has tremendous difficulty to see within himself. Therefore, that creates that choshech, that uncertainty. And that's why you need judgment. Okay? That's why you need judgment. You only need judgment after you eat from the Eitz HaDa'as. Before, you don't need judgment. You listen to God and you do it. That's all. That, in a way, is a God-like quality. Because who is the real judge of good and evil? Hashem. By Adam eating from the Eitz HaDa'as, he's becoming Hashem. Do you see? He's becoming Hashem. We once spoke about it. What is the Yetzer Hora that's pushing Adam HaRishon to eat from the Eitz HaDa'as? The Yetzer Hora that Adam HaRishon has before any other Yetzer Hora, by the mere fact that there is a God and there is a man, that Yetzer Hora exists. The Yetzer Hora of wanting to be God. Right? In other words, even before Adam HaRishon eats from the Eitz HaDa'as, there is a Yetzer Hora that exists. That Yetzer Hora is to be like God. What's the proof that there is a Yetzer Hora before the Eitz HaDa'as? Because otherwise, how can the Nochosh use that as an argument? Don't you like to be like God? Eat it, you will be like God. So obviously that desire to be like God exists in Adam HaRishon. Which means that that desire of being like God is essential to the nature of man. Meaning, other Yetzer Horas, the Yetzer Hora for pleasure, for other things, maybe are acquired. But that basic Yetzer Hora that's part of man is being like God. That is the essential Yetzer Hora. Which of course is not a Yetzer Hora. You can make it into a Yetzer Hora. Right? Essentially, that's the idea that pushes you to Mahu Rahu Mafato Rahu. He's merciful, you should be merciful. He's good, you should be good. He's creative, you should be creative. Right? Mahu Roi Fecholim, Mafato Roi Fecholim. Just the opposite. It's a force for doing good. But here, the Nochosh changes it around and pushes Adam to use that desire to be like God to eat from the Eitz HaDa'as. Okay? So, this is the first argument for eating the Eitz HaDa'as. And that argument, we once mentioned that, it's called in Pirkei Ovois, when in Pirkei Ovois is described the three major forces of evil, remember the three major forces of evil? Kino, Taibo, Vekovoid, says the Mishnah in Pirkei Ovois. Kino, Taibo, Vekovoid. Which one is the Nochosh using as the main opening argument against Chavo and Odom? Kovoid. You will be God. V'yisem kelokim yoidei toivoro. What do you mean? That is not only potentially a good thing. Everything we do that's positive stems from it. Right? We argue with, we say to God, we pray to God. Where does it come from, prayer? One spoke about it. Where does it come from that we tell God what he should do? Make me rich, make me healthy. I mean, we are giving God opinions. That's right. That's prayer. Our deep relationship with God is in a way because God made us God-like. Tzelem Elokim, to be like Hashem. Now, so this is the first argument. We mentioned that in Posuk Vov, Vatereho Isho, the woman, that's not sufficient, she saw the fruit, and all of a sudden she saw the Chitavo Huloinaim. She saw with her eyes the potential of pleasure. And that awakened in her some idea of that pleasure is important. And then here we find the second force of all evil that man does, which is what again? Remember I told you the mission Pirkei Avos, Taibo. So we have Kovoid as a force, and that's the argument used by the Nochosh, and Taibo as a force. Taibo Hila Einai.
So Taibo is part of her also. So Kovo is a natural thing.
Okay, so Kovoid is natural. Taibo, she saw the potential of Taibo. She's Taibo, it doesn't say that she felt the Taibo. She saw the potential of developing Taibo.
Why should
I be guilty of that? That is a good question. In other words, how can there be a Taibo to have Taibo? Here, it doesn't say Vatereo Isho, Vatisavo Isho. Doesn't say, and she saw it and she desired it. She had no desire of a Yetzer Hara. But she saw the potential of developing Taibo. So even though Taibo didn't exist the way we know it, but the intellectual knowledge of Taibo existed. It says already in the Medrash, the Ha'asafsuf in the Midbar, it says in the desert, the Asafsuf, that some lower, that's a lower level of the Jews, Hisavu Ta'avo, they desired a desire. They were eating the man, and man was a very special food that you can only enjoy it if you were in a high spiritual level. And they had no Yetzer Hara for physical food. And it bothered them. Why can't I enjoy a good hamburger or whatever, you know? Why can't I enjoy it? Because I have no taive for it. I wish I would have a taive. Hisavu tavo means that they desired a desire. They had no desire because they were too spiritual. But it bothered them that they were so spiritual. Hisavu tavo. That's how the Medrash says.
What's the
chesaron in a taive? A taive, to have a taive? You should be happy that you don't have it. And they were bothered by the fact that they don't have it. That's their lower level. But Chavo, what we are saying here, even though she had no Taivo, what's the proof that she had no Taivo? Because it doesn't say that when she saw the fruit, she desired the fruit. If we pay attention to the words, what does it say? Vatere, she saw that it was desirable. Why doesn't it say that she desired it? She didn't desire it. But she saw intellectually the potential of desire. How good, how much can I enjoy life if I would just develop the desire? How will I develop the desire? By eating the Eitz Hadas. That's the second thing that the Eitz Hadas will give me. Of course. Maybe if we'll have a chance, we'll talk about it. In a way, that's part of what the Meshech Chochmah said. We'll see right now. Okay, so this is the second force. So the first one, wanting to be like God. The second one is the potential of tremendous pleasure. Okay? And then she gives it, Vatiten gam le'isho, and she gives it to Adam. Vayoichal, and he also ate it. In other words, the arguments that convinced her also convinced Adam. Says Rashi, Vatiten gam le'isho, why did she also share the fruit with her husband, says Rashi? Sheloi tomus hi v'yichyehu v'yiso acheres. What is the justification for her sharing it with her husband? Kina. So here we have the three principles that are the basis for all evil in the world. Kovod, Taivo, and Kina. And that what caused the chet.
She told him the reasons. I thought she surprised him and gave them. He knew all the things he knew?
You mean...
He ate it after she told him the same argument?
That's not clear. Now, do we know that he also accepted the reasons or not? That is not clear. The Torah doesn't say it. The Torah doesn't say how she convinced him to eat. But one thing is clear, that the problem is clear. How could he have eaten it? Why did he eat it?
She sneaked it to him. Is that possible?
If it's impossible, because then it would be a shogeg. This ashogi, an unintentional sin, right? And obviously it was not an unintentional sin. We see from the punishment that it was an unintentional. Obviously it was intentional.
So desire made her do it, but she actually told him the same.
So it was intentional. Right? Intentional means that he also knew exactly what he was doing. And then it says, Pasuk Zayin, Vatipokachno Einei Shneim, their eyes opened up.
One question. Why did she...
Why did she? Because the Rashi says, because I probably will have to pay a price for what I'm doing, Chava says. Why should I pay the price and he shouldn't?
But if she thought it was a good thing, then she was convinced to do it because it was a good thing. And so if she...
But it's a good thing that you have to pay a price for. A price for sure you're going to have to pay.
But she thought ultimately the trade-off was...
was worthwhile.
So then why would she... Presumably, she convinced Adam to do it out of kino because he wanted to be... He wanted to be at the same... get the same benefit as she had. But I don't understand. If it's a tova, then one of them wants it and the other one doesn't want the other one to have it.
Yeah, I understand what you're asking. But the point is like this. When you are doing something, right, which is a questionable act, right, and you want to do it, fine, okay, that's your choice. That's your choice, right? You know that you are gambling, right? Would you advise somebody else to gamble? That should be something that you should leave it up to him. She didn't leave it up to him. She didn't present the case to Adam HaRish and say, now you make the decision. She didn't say that. Because if she would have done that, it wouldn't say, Vatitem gam le'isho imo. Right? Vatitem gam le'isho imo means like, she wouldn't leave him alone until he ate. Right? That's what bothers Rashi. Why? Why wouldn't she leave him alone? Says Rashi, because it was the kino, the jealousy, the possibility that she will have to pay a price that's too high, and he shouldn't know that. I can't do it. Right? That's where Rashi stresses. But you are right in the idea she thought she was doing something good. But even if it's good, it's a gamble that she shouldn't have forced the other person to take.
Is that the origin of woman nagging husbands?
Well, I mean, that's...
Don't take,
that's,
careful.
Right? It's part of the nature, right?
Play that back for you.
And then it says, Vatipokachno einei shneihem. Somehow their eyes opened up. Vayedu ki erumim heim. What is the nature of this opening of the eyes? Obviously, it's related. Vayedu ki erumim heim. They knew that they were naked. So, what does that have to do with opening up their eyes? What changed? It says like this. The idea of covering yourself, what Rashi calls tzenius, modesty, it's an essential characteristic of men, that you want to cover yourself. Where does it come from? Tzenius comes from your intuitive awareness that you are in the presence of God. That's what we believe. We believe that the characteristic of tzenius comes from the fact that man knows that he's in front of God. Therefore, the knowledge that you are in front of God causes a feeling of awe, a natural feeling of awe, and the feeling of awe once automatically creates a feeling that I like to disappear, to cover myself in front of that greatness that I'm facing, right? That is the idea of covering yourself. Okay? So, tzenius is something which is intuitive in man because man knows that he's in the presence of God. The question is, why Adam HaRishon, before the sin, right, didn't have that feeling? Is it possible that he didn't have that feeling? It says, impossible. Of course he had that feeling. That is a natural feeling. Except that before the sin, Adam was covered. How was he covered? Very simple. The idea is the following. The question is, how does Adam relate to his own body? How did Adam relate to his own body, his own physical body? How did he see his own physical body? Adam HaRishon, before the sin, saw his essence as being his soul. His neshama, right? His body was completely external to his essence. Completely. Right? The same way that we put on a jacket, so he also had a jacket of flesh and blood. But he didn't see his essence associated with his body. He saw his essence as the soul and his body as a covering of that spiritual essence. Therefore, Adam, before the sin, was covered. What happened with Adam after the sin? He loses his identification with his essence, and his essence becomes identified with his physical essence. In other words, before the sin, he didn't see his hand as part of himself. He saw his hand as something that he has on top of him, like the way we dress, like my shirt or my jacket, right? It's a glove. That's the way he saw it, as something external. After the sin, my hand becomes me. I am my hand, I am my head, I am my feet. I am this physical essence. Therefore, once his essence became physical, then all of a sudden, he's naked. What covers that essence? Okay? The center of his essence changed from his spiritual essence to his physical essence. So now he's naked. Do you hear the idea? Which means, not that he wasn't naked before. Of course physically he was naked, but it's not a nakedness. Because his physical being is something so external to himself, right, that his essence is covered. We are only ashamed of ourselves because our body is ourself. But if our body is only what covers us, then we are covered. That tzenius, that modesty, is expressed in the fact that we have a body. Our body covers our essence. Now, it's interesting that something remained in our body to remind us of the relationship of Adam with his own body. You know what it is? It says in the Zohar, Sefer HaZohar, it's a famous Zohar, the nails. Because it's very interesting. The nails are the part of the body that has no nerve ends. You cut it off and it's not part of you anymore. It's not really you, your nails. Hair. It's you and it's not you. There's something else, there's hair too, and there's a whole thing about hair. But the nails are described as the goof of Adam HaRishon. Not, it doesn't mean that Adam HaRishon had a nail-like body. This, it doesn't mean that at all. It means that the nails, we have nails to remind us of the nature of the relationship that Adam had with his own body. He saw his body the way we see our nails. As something external that you can get rid of it, get a new one, right? This is the idea. That's what we mean. That's what the Zohar means when it says that the tzipornaim are goof of Adam HaRishon. Doesn't mean literally. It means that it represents the relationship of Adam in his own body.
Yeah. I think there must be some connection on Havdalah, on the nails by them there.
Why?
There must be some connection.
Why? What's the idea? It says clearly. Why do we look at the nails al pikabole? Because since it's the neshomo yisero, it's going away, right? That neshomo yisero is part of the neshomo of Adam HaRishon. When it goes away through the nails, because the nails reminds us of the Matzav of Adam HaRishon. That's what it says. It says in the Sifrei Kabbalah. It says that's why we look at the nails, because the nails are the goof of Adam HaRishon. He never saw it. It's brought down that you look at the nails because the nails are the goof of Adam HaRishon. Didn't see it? The neshama yisera means the full. You know what neshama yisera means? It means what we are lacking. Shabbos represents the day when everything is fulfilled. The shleimus. Shabbos is shleimus. Right? Since our shleimus is limited because of the chait of Adam HaRishon, right? We get the neshome of lifnei the chait of Adam HaRishon, because you know, again, maybe we're, you know that Shabbos represents the tikkun of the chait of Adam HaRishon. You know when did Adam HaRishon do tshuva? Do you know that? Shabbos. In other words, at what point in time did Adam HaRishon do tshuva? When Shabbos came in. Now, what are the words that Adam HaRishon said when he realized that he can do tshuva? Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbos. Because Shabbos represents the fulfillment of what Adam HaRishon caused, the lack caused by Adam HaRishon. Right? Comes out that extra neshama that we need to fulfill our goal, which is to rectify the sin of Adam HaRishon, is connected with Shabbos. That is the essence of Shabbos giving you the Neshama Yisero. Because in a small way, Shabbos represents a partial tikkun of the chait of Adam HaRishon. Right? That's what Shabbos represents. Because that Shabbos represents the tikkun, the fulfillment, the completion of the cycle of Adam when he goes back to himself, when he goes back to what he should be. That is the Neshama Yisero. This is why when the Neshama Yisero leaves, that was Shabbos ends, the Neshama Yisero leaves. So we remind ourselves that the Chait Adam HaRishon. How do we remind ourselves of the Chait Adam HaRishon? Through our nails, that reminds us of the Matzav of Adam HaRishon. The Baalei Kabbalah say it as a reason why we look at our nails at Moitzei Shabbos.
I thought you just said he did tshuva.
Of course.
So it's all forgiven, all over and done with, right?
Yes, but don't forget that forgiveness and rectification are two different things. There is kaporo and there is tikkun, right? You can kill someone, commit murder. God can even forgive you, right? But the tikkun, which means putting back things the way they were, may take a long, long time, okay? It means tikkun and kaporo are two different things, okay? Yeah.
Did Adam start looking at his body as his essence because of his gang of five, or is there any relationship
also? Of course, not only that. That is what it's all about. Right. In other words, the moment that body becomes part of your essence, right? Not something external. Then there is the inner struggle. Do I want it or don't I want it? Should I do it or shouldn't I do it? If you see yourself as separated from your body, then of course you can coolly make a decision. No, I'm not going to. So what if my body wants it? Right? I don't want it. Who is my body to tell me what I should do? The moment I and my body become one, then it becomes uncertain. Do I want it or don't I want it? Is it right or is it wrong? I mean, okay.
Yeah, I just want also to get the correct causal chain here. Is it after he gains a tithe and his body becomes his essence, that when he gets das? Because it's only at that point that he needs to start making decisions.
Yes, apart. Yes. That is the das. Das is when I have to make judgments. I don't see things clearly anymore. I am the judge of what's right and what's wrong.
As long as he didn't have taiva, he needed not to do that.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. Correct. Okay? Yeah.
Rashi says, Shalom ha-yodim derech tzinius for the chet. That we were saying before, that they did have an awareness.
Oh. So according to this, we have to understand that it's not that lo yodim derech tzinius, that they had no tzinius. They didn't have that tzinius that we see as tzinius. They had a different tzinius, which was a higher tzinius, right? Remember the question we asked, how can it be that Odom Orishon before the Chet lacked something that he gains afterwards? It's impossible. No. Rashi just means our sense of tzinius he didn't have because he had a much higher one. His sense of tzinius told him that his body was not his essence. That's the highest level of tzinius. Yeah.
Are you learning what you said before about Shabbos, that they got Kippurah, that the first Shabbos was also the first Yom Kippur?
Well, you're right, yes. The first Shabbos was the first Yom Kippur. By the way, Yom Kippur has in it some of the nature of Shabbos. Right? So his Yom Kippur was Shabbos.
But why does one have to cover himself up? If God gave us a body, like, what was necessity to cover yourself up before God?
No, there isn't. It's true. God gave us a body to cover up our essence. What we did is we mixed it all up. Right? We mixed up our essence with our body to the point that when we say, I want to steal, right? We don't realize that it really means, I don't want to steal. It's my desires who want to steal. To such a point we mixed it up by eating from the Eitz HaDaas, that I can actually say, why did you eat the non-kosher food? Because I was hungry, I felt like eating the non-kosher food. That's not correct. That statement, I desired the food, that's why I ate non-kosher food, it's a statement that makes sense only after the Eitz HaDaas. Before the Eitz HaDaas, what? He had no hunger? But of course he had hunger. His body had hunger. So what did his essence tell him? Your body wants to eat. So your essence decided, should I listen to my body or shouldn't I listen to my body? Do you follow the relationship of Odom Orishon to his body before the Chet?
So when he saw the thing.
Exactly. You know the car needs gas. So therefore, you're not going to make a decision. Right?
So when he saw the food and was jealous, it would look good. It would look good to a body or look good
again?
So when he saw like the fruit and it was luscious to her eyes.
So I said that it's not that she actually desired the fruit. She saw the potential of what desire can do. How desirous a desire is. That's what it says in the Pasuk, if you pay attention to the Pasuk. It doesn't say that she desired the fruit. She saw the desire in the fruit. She saw the potential of what desire can do to a person. That's what she saw. Okay?
Doesn't covering our bodies perpetuate that identification with our bodies themselves?
Of course, because that is the nature of man from this point on. Nothing. Well, what we can do now is the soyhu vavoyu, right? The soyhu vavoyu, that mixture of light and darkness that's caused by the sin of Odom Orishon. Our job now is to separate or en choshech, but now it becomes our job. While before it was God's job, and all we had to do was listen to God. Right?
Was the actual chet, the eating of the fruit?
Again?
Was the actual chet, the eating of the fruit, or the tashmish that happened afterwards?
No, the actual eating of the fruit, the listening.
Okay. So this tashmish that happened afterwards, the whole world says that this was the original sin or something.
Well, it was the world. No,
I mean the Goyish world.
The Goyish world, yeah.
Okay, where do they get this from? It's not in the Parsha anyway.
Right. I mean, we don't believe in the original sin. There's no original sin, just the opposite. There is an original perfection, right? And we are going back to that original perfection, right? So man wasn't conceived in sin in any way. That's a completely Goyish idea that has nothing to do with our tradition. Okay, now, let me just tell you the main point of the Meshech Chochma here. And the main point is the following. Why did Odom Orishon do it? So, says the Meshech Chochma, what?
No.
Says the Meshech Chochma like this. obviously Adam or Rishon and Chava did it because they thought it was right. How can they think it was right? You hear the paradox. How can they be wrong in what's right? You can be wrong only after eating the Eitz Hadas. Because that mixture between right and wrong, that obscurity, that darkness, that uncertainty can only come after eating from Eitz Hadas. How can they be mixed up before eating the Eitz Hadas? You hear the inner paradox? Says the Meshech Chochmo, this incredible idea says like this. Let me give you an example that clarifies the idea of the Meshech Chochmo. Told you somebody, you have a good friend, for instance, and your good friend tells you, please give me a piece of bread. That's all he asked you for, a piece of bread, right? What about if you say to yourself, no, I'm not going to give him a piece of bread, because he only asked me for a piece of bread, he really wants cake. But he thinks it's too much of a bother for me to go and buy the piece of cake. That's why he's asking me for bread. I'm really not going to give him the piece of bread. I'm going to give him cake. Right? Is that right or that's wrong? Is that right or that's wrong?
As long as your assessment that he really wants cake is
correct. What?
As long as your assessment that he really wants cake is correct.
It's correct. What about if we go one step further and the case is when your friend tells you, give me bread and don't give me cake. What about in such a case? And I say, well, he's only saying it because he knows that really I should give him cake because it's what he really wants, right? But of course, if he wouldn't have told me that, right, it wouldn't be such an appreciated thing. But now that I'll give him cake, he'll really appreciate it because then it would really be a sacrifice. That's a possibility, right? That the man tells me, don't give me cake, and I give him cake, and he says, well, I really appreciate it, because you really didn't have to do it, because I told you, I gave you the perfect way out when I told you, don't give me cake, and you still went to the bother of giving me cake. You are great. True? Says the Meshech Chochmo. It may sound as a kind of oversimplification, but it's not at all, if you really think about it. Hashem says, don't eat the Eitz Hadas. Right. Comes the Nochosh and tells you, Af imomar Elohim. Af. Af means what? In spite of the fact. Which means, he really wants you to eat the Eitz Hadas. But he wants you to eat the Eitz Hadas as your own decision, not as something that he told you, because if you do it because he told you, then there is nothing great about it. Your greatness will come out if you do something that he told you not to do, and that's what he really wants. Do you hear that?
Does the same idea apply with the chetam of the Meraglim?
Not necessarily. Well, let me just finish this idea. If you pay attention to the words of the Nochosh, and he learns it into the words, take a look. It's not real death. He calls it death God because he wanted to scare you in order that you should get a greater reward. Ki yodeya Elohim. Yodeya means, the word yodeya also means when you make a judgment about something, you are very close to the thing. Das also has the implication of closeness. Because in order to make a real judgment about something, you really have to get to know it very intimately. That's why intimate relations in the Torah are described as knowing each other. Intimate relations, right? Even physical intimate relations are described as Yodeya, Ladas, Vayeda, Odom Eschavo. Because it always implies a very close relationship between the knower and the knowee, so to speak, right? So, ki yodeya Elohim, ki biyom acholchem mimenu venifkechu einechem v'yisem ke Elohim yodei toiv oro, and that's what he really wants. Do you hear how the Meshech Chochmo learns Pshat in the argument of the Nochosh? The argument of the Nochosh is that by God telling you, don't give me cake, it makes your giving him cake that so much more greater, the act of giving him cake. God is wrongly testing you. Are you going to just listen to what he says, and if he says bread, you'll give him bread? Or are you going to give him cake when he asks you for bread? This is why, Afim Omar Elohim, it's true God said it, but you should do it in spite of it, and that you're going to be a much greater human being. That was the hate of Adam HaRishon. The hate of Adam HaRishon didn't come from any uncertainty. He was certain. He was certain that's what God says, and this is what God told him not to do it. His mistake was, right, that he went one step further, and he tried to do something that God didn't tell him, convinced, of course, by the Nochosh, that by not listening to God, he'll be a better servant of God. And that's where he went wrong. Okay? This is how the Meshech Chochmah learns.
Judgment in that.
What?
There's no element of judgment in that.
According to the Meshech Chochmah, no. Right? That is the Yetzer Hara of being Ke'elokim. Meaning, so what gave him the power to do it? Because that gives you the feeling of being like God. If I can not listen to God, then I'm God. That was what pushed him. But his rationalization was that I'll become, right? Because we had to pay the price. Meaning, and that's a separate subject, we find very often in Midrashim statements like, well, what Adam HaRishon did wasn't so bad after all. We go, what do you mean it wasn't so bad? Listen, we are still suffering from it. Right? We are still suffering from it. What do you mean it wasn't so bad? Yeah? Yes, but there is a famous dialogue between the Gaon of Vilna and the Dubner Magid. Did you ever hear of the Magid of Dubne? There is a dialogue. This is what they say, that once the Gaon of Vilna asked the Dubner Magid, who was a very close friend, and he said to him, you know, tell me some criticism about myself. You know, a person should, that's what you should have a friend for, that you should ask him to criticize you. Maybe you see something wrong with me. So the Dubner Magid says, you're the Gaon of Vilna. I mean, what can be wrong with you? He says, no, listen, you've got to find something. Every man must have something. Just tell me, what do you see? So the Dubner Magid said to him, listen, the only thing that I can say about you is that you are really a great tzaddik, a great Gaon. But you are so separated from the world. You live in the Beis Medrash, right? And you know the word in Yiddish a kunzen. You know a kunz? Do kunzen, meaning to do tricks. It's no kunz, right? It's not a trick to be such a great tzaddik if you are just in the Beis Medrash, right? If you would go out to the market and do business every day and you would still be the Gaon of Vilna, then you would be a much greater person. That's the only criticism that I can see about you. So the Gaon of Vilna thinks for a few seconds and he says, doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that a person should be a kunzenmacher, a trick maker. You know, it's fine. I mean, it's true. You're right. I would be a much greater person. There's no question about it. I would be a much greater person if I would go out to the market and still remain such a tzaddik. But who said that I'm obligated to do it? That's the idea, which means Adam HaRishon really became a much greater servant of God. But who told him to become that? God doesn't want that. Remain where you are. Of course, he became, meaning, the great tzaddik who overcomes the temptation is a greater tzaddik than the other tzaddik who didn't overcome the temptation. But if you have a choice, should you be put in such a situation or not? Don't put yourself in such a situation. Right? Meaning, if you have a choice, don't do it. Adam HaRishon had a choice not to become a greater servant of God. And that would have been serving God. Do you understand that there is a little bit of desire of being like God? I want to be a greater servant of God. That itself can be a Yetzer Hara. Right?
That making that choice not to put yourself in the situation is equal to having been put in the situation and overcoming it. Or maybe even a greater...
Again?
Could be said that it's a greater avoda to not make a decision, the hachila, than to actually be in a situation to overcome it.
Exactly. And that's what the mistake of Adam HaRishon was. It's very subtle. Right? Which means he thought that by choosing to come down to a lower level and then overcoming it, it's greater right? When really the greatness would have been not to choose to become greater. Do you follow me? Because of course he wouldn't have become, but if that would be his choice, that would have been his greatness, to give up his greatness. Okay, that subtle choice was the sin of Adam Orishan. So it comes out that the sin of Adam Orishan is almost not understandable in our level. Right? I mean, for us, it would have been a great act of tzidkus, of righteousness. Right? If we would do something like such a tremendous sacrifice for the sake of God. But God, for Adam Orishan, he was very strict with him. That subtle choice of not giving up his own greatness, right, of choosing a lower level in order to overcome it, that would have been the righteous for Adam Orishan.
Is it like
Korah?
Similar way,
I mean, that this theme, this idea of putting yourself into a new matzav, a new situation in order to overcome it or not to put yourself, is a theme, it's a recurrent theme, right? And we find it very often, that's a choice that a person has to make. Should I go into a lower level so I can overcome it and then become greater, or should I stay in another level? No greatness, right? By Korah we find that idea. Yeah. Okay,
so
let's start. Yeah.
So does Adam Rishon become greater in Olam HaBa because he's gone through all this than if he had just...
Again?
Does Adam Rishon become greater in Olam
HaBa? I mean, no question about it. But he would have become even greater if he would have been willing to give it up, that greatness. That's the choice that he had.
Question.